You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. It's 6:06 right now. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Big day, another week. Who knows what it will hold, but we know at least what the next few hours will hold. And if you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jamie, nothing overtly horrible happened over the weekend. So I hope you were able to enjoy at least a few hours. I know Saturday I kept waiting for the shoe to drop, going, all right, I got up, I got my coffee, sat down, I went, did we blow up anybody else?
Like, it's when you check your phone.
We're blowing up the same people.
It's like when you're checking your phone every few minutes just to make sure that this administration is behaving themselves on a Saturday. A little shout out to Daniel listening on the live stream this morning. He says, happy Monday. Sup, guys? Not too much.
Daniel.
We're good. We're good on a Monday. Thank you for watching this morning. But we do have... I mean, let's be realistic. There wasn't a lot of major news stories over the weekend, but there's enough for us to keep busy this morning.
Yes, and let's start as we have been for the last week with the update on Iran. Unfortunately, the saddest update, a U.S. service member, another U.S. service member died after sustaining injuries in that initial attack. The military said Sunday that brought the number of American troops killed in the Iran war to 7. We saw the president and vice president at the distinguished transfer, which drew a lot of criticism, especially from, I don't know if I know you saw this, Jamie, the fake news, the people who scream about it the most, Fox broadcasting footage of a years old dignified transfer of Trump not wearing his hat when in fact he kept his little shilling his products, his baseball hat on for the whole transfer. And Fox just went, oh, it was a mistake. No, it wasn't. Come on.
No.
Stop screaming about fake news and then
literally
broadcasting fake news.
Right. Well,
fake news that everybody else could check because it was the real photos and the real footage were on every other media outlet in the country and the world.
Right. I mean, there's some irony in all of the people who scream fake news all the time. In other news headlines, Ali Khamenei's son, Mojtaba, has been named the next supreme leader in Iran. Yeah. U.S. President Donald Trump previously said that Mojtaba would be an unacceptable choice, and Israel vowed to target any successor.
This is not a good sign. It means that regime is locked in.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, we've talked to some experts here on this program who said that this was probably the case, that this regime, even with Ali Khamenei's death, this was a regime that was very much in place. They had successor upon successor. We've had a Middle Eastern expert, Lucas Gage, join this program who said they were probably 6 to 7 people deep as far as how they viewed this particular regime. Now, from what I understand about Khamenei's son, this is also not good, because if you thought Khamenei was not a good person, this is like basically upping that ante. And so this is going to be interesting to see what experts have to say as we find out how his rule is going to look in
Iran. He has been spending years behind the scenes, but he is 100%. He doesn't have the same jurisprudence or, you know, the same religious rank as his father did, but he has been intimately involved in the regime for years and years. He is definitely a hardliner, and he is of the hardest of the hardliners. So this is for, you know, when Trump in the Oval Office with the German Prime Minister the other day said, well, what's the worst that could happen? We get somebody who's worse. Hey,
this
congratulations.
Might be it. This
you
might
got
be
the
it.
Worst case scenario, brother.
I saw one expert this weekend basically compare to him to his dad as if you thought his dad was a, in comparative American terms, a right-wing progressive, this guy will up the ante about 500 steps. So it's going to be, it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out as we watch what's happening in the Middle East.
Asian markets closed with steep losses as oil surged past $100 a barrel, a four-year high. The International Monetary Fund chief warned of global inflation risks. Her advice to policymakers was to prepare for the, quote, unthinkable, end quote.
Well, that doesn't ease your mind on a Monday morning.
If you have to fill up this morning, good luck.
Right. A CNN team heard thuds across Tehran from what happened, what appeared to be an airstrike after Israel said that it launched fresh attacks on Iran. Gulf nations also reported overnight strikes.
And new video appears to confirm a U.S. airstrike targeted a naval base next to an Iranian school. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said the U.S. is, quote, still investigating, end quote, while Trump cast blame on Iran. Of course he did. It did come out that the first school that was hit by us.
Yep.
Not Israel, as was first reported. So I don't put it. I don't even know how you make that plan. Because unless we just really don't have a plan.
Well, and I think that's just it. This is where I think even hardcore Republican congresspeople are starting to ask questions, because we're not seeing any reason for what we're doing. And the amount of civilian deaths that we're seeing throughout the Middle East, and I understand it's not all at the hands of the United States. There are several countries in play, 14 countries under attack as we talk this morning. But
it appears now, based on what and there were conflicting reports coming out of Iran, too.
Right.
The president of Iran, who's a little more moderate, had come out and apologized to his neighbors and said, if you don't attack us, we're not going to attack you.
Right.
But then the regime said, oh, no, that's not the case.
Yeah.
Just it sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes.
That they're so now we're hoping to see. But it does appear that even today, the headline in CNN was that the president is waiting. He's not going to make a decision on when things are going to end until Israel lets him know. So we are there at Israel's behest, as everybody theorized. It becomes more and more clear. And we haven't even dove into the fact that the Iranian foreign minister admitted that, yes, Russia is giving them intelligence on American troops, and we seem okay with that.
I think that's Frank, make a note, because that's a bigger conversation I think we're going to need to have on this.
No.
Yeah, we'll have that conversation, but make a note. We're going to need somebody to help us dissect that, who knows Soviet policy, Russian policy, as well as Middle Eastern policy, because, boy, that's a whole keg of worms to open up right there, isn't it? But
It should be unfathomable
right.
to every single American.
It
should be unfathomable to every member of Congress. The fact that then this is happening and nobody's denying it.
Right.
Even our administration is not denying it. They're just saying, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
You know,
all of this is
fine. We're still gonna loosen sanctions on Russian oil. That's okay.
because wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we do that in the midst of them offering intelligence?
I don't know. And these are not opinions.
These are facts.
You can go back and fact check everything we're saying.
Yes.
I watched that interview yesterday with the Iranian foreign minister, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So it is truly happening. This isn't another conspiracy. It
no.
isn't rumor. This is, and granted, all right, you got to take everybody's word on mm-hmm. all these sides with a big grain of salt. But to come right out and say that and not have then the Kremlin put out a statement saying that was not true. But Jamie, listen.
I mean,
we need a shield for the Americas, because there's stuff going on in this hemisphere.
There is
that. If you live in South Florida, which none of us do, but hey, Cuba is. I can see Cuba from my house. We're turning our sights on there. First, it was Venezuela. Yeah. Greenland was first. That is now it's Venezuela. Then now it's Iran. Who knows? And now it's going to be Cuba, maybe.
It is, because the Trump administration is working, if you haven't heard this, on a potential economic agreement with Cuba. And officials say a deal might be announced in the very near future. Exact details and timing, like a lot of things with this particular administration, remain pretty unclear at this point in time.
Can I take a guess?
2 weeks?
2 weeks?
2 weeks. It might be 2 weeks. Might be 2 weeks. Now, yep. This particular agreement could include loosening restrictions on Americans traveling to Cuba, particularly to Havana. The president has the authority to relax some of those travel rules without needing any sort of approval from Congress. Now, there have been some repeated discussions, including economic partnerships in certain areas like ports, things with tourism and energy, along with the possibility that the United States could ease some sanctions on the Cuban government. Now, the strategy here is interesting because it appears to be aimed at increasing Cuba's economic reliance on the United States rather than mm-hmm. trying to immediately overthrow the country's communist government. So, okay.
That's
so
coming next.
Let me just get this straight. So right now we are looking at, instead of overthrowing a communist government, working alongside of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do I have that correct? I have that correct
Okay. That is, and I'm, anytime I use the word plan when I discuss this administration, mm-hmm. assume there's air quotes. So, yes, that is the plan.
Okay. And we're also acknowledging the fact that we're going to lift sanctions, just so I'm clear this morning, because it's Monday. I'm a little foggy yet. Just so I'm clear.
You lost an hour of sleep.
I did lose an hour of sleep. And we're also accepting the fact that Russia is giving Iran intelligence on the U.S., and we're okay with that, right? We're okay with that
this
morning?
You seem to have all the facts straight.
Okay,
I don't know
right.
where the confusion lies. This
want,
is
again,
what's the issue, Jamie? We all want to go to Cuba. I would actually love to visit Cuba.
Yeah, I hear it's beautiful.
But yeah, but we can't. It becomes comical only in its absurdity.
Right.
This couldn't be happening. If somebody had written it a decade ago,
right.
if I had written this as a script and tried to sell it, people would have thought I was insane.
Of course.
They would have, this is too fanciful, too farcical to ever make it. This is not true. And here we are.
And here we are. We're having the conversation. Now, I think this is interesting as well because the talks around Cuba involve the Cuban president, Miguel Diaz-Canel, while members of the Castro family are still believed to hold a lot of influence behind the scenes in the country's leadership. And Marco Rubio, in case you're wondering, he's reportedly leading the discussions with Cuban officials. And there have been reports of outreach to people connected to the former Cuban leader, Raul Castro. Now, this administration's approach actually comes after the U.S. capture of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. Mm. Remember that 1,000 years ago? And the disruption of Venezuelan oil shipments, which were a major source of economic support for Cuba. The president has argued that Cuba's economy is in serious trouble, saying that the country is at the end of the line financially and could be forced to negotiate with the United States.
It's been that way for 50 years.
Right.
Where's he been?
Cuba, just catch it up.
They're still driving 1957 Chevys over there. Well, they're not driving them. They're just broken down on the side of the road. It's not. Cuba has never been thriving.
No.
And then all of a sudden, thanks, Biden.
Yeah. Yeah. 6:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We've got some texts rolling in this morning, Brian. Of course, if you ever want to chime into the conversation, 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-CIVIC. Someone texts in saying, war is, civilians aren't safe. I believe we did talk about civilians in this particular case.
Yes.
And the loss of life that is happening in the Middle East. And no, the civilians aren't safe right now in the Middle East. Mark also chiming in. This morning on the text line saying, remember when Russia was paying a bounty to the Taliban for killing American soldiers in Afghanistan? Trump never cut ties with Putin over that. Nope, never did. That is absolutely correct.
He will not
correct.
Cut ties with Putin over anything because no. Putin's got him over a barrel somehow. I don't know what it is. I don't know how, he has his thumb on him, but he's got him. He's got something on Trump, and Trump is truly his puppet.
Yeah.
In my opinion. That is an opinion.
Well, I think we watched some of that relationship change back in the Trump first presidency. And anybody who was paying attention to what was happening can go back to that original meeting in Helsinki during the first administration.
Yes.
And that was when I believe that there was always some sort of relationship there, my personal opinion. But that was when we saw the relationship change and whatever hold Russia had over Donald Trump at that point became pretty obvious in that Helsinki meeting.
Well, let's be honest. Vladimir Putin is a lot smarter and a lot cagier and a lot more devious than Donald Trump. Even though Donald Trump believes himself to be on that level,
no.
He is not.
No.
And that same press conference that you're talking about when Donald Trump went, well, he told me they weren't involved and, so I... Oh, and so you just believed him?
Yes.
I keep thinking about this story, and we are going to talk about it in depth with more at another time. But I keep thinking about this, and whatever your thoughts were about Ronald Reagan or the Bushes or whatever, this would have been the final straw. This would have been the severing point for anybody who is not Russian controlled.
Right.
This would have been the time when you stepped away and went, how dare you?
Yeah.
If you are the commander-in-chief and somebody is selling out your troops, but you still want to continue a dialogue with them, you still want to admire them, because that's what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Trump admires the way Putin has an iron hold over his country, and that's what Donald Trump really wants. But if you, how dare you then talk about the troops, go to watch the transfer of these service members coming home, and allow the person who is selling them out to still be on good terms with you is beyond me, and it should be beyond everybody.
It goes beyond a certain level of patriotism, right? It's really hard to say how much you love this country when you're allowing those things in plain sight to happen and you're part of it. It's really hard to defend the actions of this country when you're watching it play out over and over and over, because this would not be the first time that we've seen this president capitulate to somebody like Vladimir Putin, right? So, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
It is. But one of the president's appointees, U.S. Transportation Secretary and former lumberjack Sean Duffy, is being implored by Wisconsin and Minnesota Democratic senators to release about $1 billion federal grant for the replacement of the Blantnik Bridge. The bridge connects Duluth and Superior and carries about 33,000 vehicles a day. But... these are two. We got a blue state and a purple state.
Yeah.
So what do you think the chances are of that money coming?
The money coming is also being asked by the females in Congress. Senators Tammy Baldwin, Tina Smith, and Amy Klobuchar. They actually sent a letter to Duffy trying to finalize the amendment grant agreement. Now,
read it to him.
The replacement project is estimated to cost about $1.8 billion. Wisconsin, Minnesota have already each committed about $400 million to the effort. And in case you're wondering, the Blantnik Bridge was actually built in 1961 and now has weight restrictions because of corrosion and aging structural components. And this is a major area of, it's a major hub of getting goods in and out of the area. It's transportation officials warn that this bridge could be forced to close completely by 2030 if they aren't able to make some sort of replacement. And both states can move forward with construction contracts and project planning because federal approval of the grant is required. Now, construction is currently scheduled to begin in phases later this year. Officials say delays, though, in approving the funding could push back the timeline and increase those costs. Estimated inflation alone could add about $80 million per year to this project if by chance it is delayed. Now, this is this will affect regional transportation, freight movement, economic activity, and public safety. So I can't imagine not getting this deal done, but, well. I don't want to be rosy.
Deals seem to get done. No. Well, it's early in the week to be Pollyanna. We save that for that for Friday.
Okay,
save your happy thoughts for Friday, Jamie. We don't have time for that on a Monday morning. But it seems like if this were going to, I don't know, let's say Oklahoma and Arkansas, it might be a different story. There is always a holdup in blue or purple states. And, you know, there's going to be some quid pro quo for this.
Right.
Okay. Again, hey, we need those, you know, those pesky election rolls we were asking for before.
Right.
You guys want a bridge?
Well, I think it's interesting, though, and I think that would be one tactic, considering this is a critical economic artery for both northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota. Both very, let's be honest, very red in how they vote. I mean, I don't want to play the politics because I want to see economic growth for both states. But if you're going to look at it from how this administration would, you know, these aren't areas that are going to primarily vote for a Democrat. Just throwing that out there.
Well, speaking of that, there's finally some clarity. You know, Trump wants to take over the elections.
He's clarity?
Well, on at least which states will be penalized.
True.
This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 6:29. This is the Civic Media Network.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. If you are listening this morning in Oshkosh and Appleton, you are listening on WISS. Thank you. In Eau Claire, you're listening on 93.5 The Tap, and in La Crosse, WLCX. For anybody who's listening, whether over on air radio or online through the app, we are certainly glad that you are joining us today. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It's going to be a lovely day, another fake spring, but it's going to get up near upper 60s, near 70. So get outside, touch a little grass, as the kids like to say. But before you do, you can give us a call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. In all the commotion over Iran, we've almost forgotten. Well, that's the plan is that some of us have almost forgotten. We will never forget that Donald Trump has floated the idea of taking over and nationalizing elections just ahead of the midterms. And we know that based on polling numbers, things are grim if you are a Republican. And now if you are a supporter of this war, as people's gas prices and grocery prices and everything continues to rise, it's not going to look good. But there's always been, we're going to nationalize it in 15 states. But they were very vague. We would theorize what states were going to be included. But now it's starting to become more clear. The president once again raised unproven claims of election fraud while discussing the possibility of nationalizing elections. He encouraged Republican officials to take greater control of voting procedures. Analysts and election experts say the key swing states could become targets for pressure, including Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and Arizona. And if those four states sound very familiar, that's because in the last election, boy, they came down to the wire. That's where in Arizona, there were the big stop the steal things in front of the courthouse. In North Carolina, same thing. Georgia, of course, they're still going down there and trying to get the voting records from Georgia. Michigan was very, very close, and it always is. I'm surprised Wisconsin didn't
get
the call.
But and Wisconsin... I think that's interesting because of the current rhetoric around Wisconsin, because the president has attacked our election system repeatedly over the last few weeks with claims that there was fraud in the state's elections. There's been audits. There's been recounts. There's been court rulings. They've repeatedly found no widespread fraud in Wisconsin elections or anywhere else across the country.
And the only problem in Wisconsin was Republicans trying to put in fake electors.
Right. And, you know, the president recently shared claims online suggesting that Wisconsin has millions more registered voters than eligible adults. Election officials actually had to debunk that a little bit, saying that it's misleading because voter rolls often include inactive voters or even outdated records. And right. that includes people who have moved, passed away, or haven't voted recently. But that doesn't mean that people are voting illegally. And, you know, when
facts. Why bother with them?
They're pesky. I get it. They get in the way. I understand. It's easier to control the narrative with whatever you want it to be. But when we talk about the states that are in the crosshairs specifically, Michigan, for example, there's a group of conservative election activists, Brian, that have obtained copies of about 150,000 absentee ballots, also uh-huh. ballot envelopes from the 2020 election through public records requests. Volunteers are now building a database to review those for what they claim could be errors or fraud. In fact, election officials in Detroit say that they welcome this review, and they are confident that the ballots will confirm that the election was conducted properly. That's just it. There is no fraud. You're not going to find anything.
And why was there no fraud in 2024? Yeah, I know. Why are you repeating yourself? Because sometimes to battle a lie that is being repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated, mm-hmm. you have to repeat the truth that many times as well. If you just go, oh, they're lying again. No, you have to counter the BS with facts.
Right.
And the fact is it has been litigated and investigated, and all you have to do, the youngest child could figure this out. Wait, if all elections are corrupt, why wasn't the last election corrupt?
Right.
Because you won that election.
It's different when you win the election, because then there's no corruption because it went your way.
Imagine if your kid did that. If they came home from soccer or Little League or football practice, and every time they lost, the game was rigged.
Right.
But every time they won it fair and square.
Of course.
You would look at your kid and go, I'm going to put you in a dark room for a little bit because you obviously your head must hurt. You need some sort of help. This is not rational thinking. So now, just put some things in real simple common sense thinking, mm-hmm. and then realize now we're talking about grown people who refuse to accept the truth.
I mean, that's just it. These people cannot accept the truth, and we continue to have this conversation. It is 6 years later, and we are still getting absentee ballots from an election that was held 6 years ago. So think about that. These are also people, as you noted at the beginning of the segment, that need to go touch some grass, maybe get some reality, go outside, understand that there is life outside of whatever you are being told, because this is not none of this happened. None of this happened.
If you had a spouse or a friend that kept saying the same thing over and over and over,
you would be concerned.
Oh my God, even if you have proved them wrong?
Right.
Million times with facts, not just I believe.
Right.
No. This is
And you know what? There are people living in that exact situation, because there are people who voted for this president that truly, truly believe, just like these concerned conservative citizens who are requesting this information to build the database. So we know that there are people living in those circumstances. When we look at some of these other states, though, Georgia is another one. We know that the FBI seized hundreds of boxes of ballots from that government warehouse just a few weeks ago as part of an investigation tied to the claims about the 2020 election. Those claims have been debunked, and there is a worry that the investigation could set a precedent for federal intervention in local elections. In North Carolina, Brian, the Republican-controlled legislature recently shifted power over the state election board and county election boards away from the governor and gave that authority to the elected state auditor. Now, here's what's worrisome in some of these states, right?
Yes.
Is that North Carolina is an interesting state because of the dynamics of the government, and how it is operated. You do a lot of times have a Democratic governor, and then you have a lot of Republicans who fall in line in other positions or have been elected to positions. So I think this is going to be this is what this administration has talked about doing, getting people on board, on their side, essentially, to be in power and be in control of some of these elections or some of these processes.
Sure.
And so that, I think, is probably the most worrisome, is that instead of people who truly believe in the process and want the process to play out, what we're seeing is people who have some sort of agenda and alignment with this particular administration. And that, I think, is going to be the most worrisome part of elections going forward, because we've seen this administration do that time and again in multiple states, put their people, we'll put that in air quotes, in control of certain positions. And that is what scares me the most.
And while it didn't work last time in Georgia, because there was there were Republicans in those positions that said, no, our election was fine down here, you are getting the opportunity to, just like you said, now the down ballot races that people, they pay attention to a little bit, but now you've got people in there who are aligned with this way of thinking, no matter what. And if you start allowing your states to take power away from the governors, and I would love to say, well, you're not going to be in power forever, and once that changes, but when you start talking about elections, that isn't a guarantee that these people won't be in power forever. That's their goal, obviously, is to be in power forever. So it is very dangerous. It's very worrisome. You go, okay, well, it's one state, but then one state turns into how many more?
Right. And I think that's the biggest concern I have as we look at what this administration is trying to do. Now, in Arizona, election oversight remains a huge flashpoint down there, because there's been disputes over the 2020 presidential election. There's also been disputes over the 2022 governor's race. In fact, a Republican official is currently seeking greater control over early voting and ballot tabulation procedures in Maricopa County, which is one of it's traditionally a Democratic stronghold, or it has been over the years. But see, this is where it also gets dangerous, because you'll see the areas that they're targeting. They're not only targeting people, targeting states where there were close elections, but they're also targeting states that have a large population of minority voters. And I think that is also very telling as we look at what we're seeing play out. There have been proposals, in fact, in Arizona to station federal immigration agents near polling places, though that idea has not, as of right now, moved forward. I mean, there's time, unfortunately.
That has been talked about for a while now, since in the last year, I guess is the while. But, I don't know how legal that is, but that doesn't seem to matter.
It doesn't seem to matter, but it comes down to the fact that the reality is, just because you lose an election doesn't mean something illegal ever happened. And we rarely hear claims of fraud in elections that Trump won, as we pointed out. Election experts also point out that the states most often targeted with a lot of these accusations tend to be the places that are democratically run or with Black and minority voting populations. And here's the thing about that. If you start giving into those whims, perhaps, of the administration, that's what I'm going to say, because for lack of a better word this morning,
there are dangerous whims.
It's dangerous.
Everything changes, so whims is a good word. It is dangerous. And if you noticed, there's speaking of Arizona, and speaking of the governor's race, Carrie Lake, who I thought had disappeared, she's going to come up in a story we're going to do later. But she followed Trump's playbook. She started yelling about a rigged election before the election ever came.
Right.
She was saying that if there was no way she could lose, if she lost, and think back to 2020. That was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He said from the very beginning, if he didn't win,
there was
no way. It was fixed. It was rigged. And it's that old thing about repeating the lie.
Yeah.
You repeat it. And a lot of rational people said he's going to say that the election was stolen if he loses. And then we were told we were being hysterical.
Yeah.
And And now, 6 years later, we're still litigating.
We're still being
an election
hysterical, apparently.
From 2020.
We're still being hysterical.
Now we have more reason.
Right.
I guess.
Now, the White House says that the administration's goal is to restore confidence in elections and support legislation such as the SAVE Act that would require proof of citizenship to register to vote. But again, this is essentially just making it harder for many, many people to vote, including women. The SAVE Act is going to make it harder not only for women, but minorities, and voting should not be this difficult in this state, in this country. But when I guess, you know, you're really worried about winning or not winning an election, you're going to do everything you can to keep people home, which is not how democracy works. It's 6:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
When we come back, you want to take the train from Madison to Chicago? Might be happening soon. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Very nicely played with the music choice, Parker. Crazy Train, by the way, Ozzy Osbourne. And when people have asked me in the past to describe, use music to describe my life and my family, Crazy Train. It's the first one I always go to.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's a good call.
On brand, as they like to say.
It is on brand. Aaron texting in this morning. He is listening in Madison. We were talking about the fact that this particular presidential administration likes to keep rehashing the 2020 election, if you joined us last segment. He says, I think part of the reason why they have so many claims of election fraud, so that once they actually do start committing election fraud themselves, they can point to all the people that have been saying there is no election fraud. Not a bad theory, honestly.
I agree with that, because if you follow this administration, and boy, I hope you have time not to, but every accusation is kind of a confession.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when you're dealing with them. I always poo-poo public transportation, but I also understand our need for it. I am a supporter of it. I think it should be there. I personally can't stand it, but that's me. That's everybody has their own thing, right? But Amtrak is now getting people excited, I guess, because they may start service from Madison to Chicago. Or do you want to say Chicago to Madison? I don't care.
Either way,
it goes. But the train goes both ways. It doesn't.
Hopefully,
they don't all just
anyway.
Stockpile. They don't just stockpile them. So they're thinking to do this around 2030, possibly shortly thereafter, depending on funding and construction timelines. The project, often called the Hiawatha West Expansion, would extend the current Hiawatha service beyond Milwaukee to connect Madison with Chicago.
I love that.
It sounds great. Imagine if you wanted to go if you're going to Milwaukee, whatever, but then if there's something you want to do in Chicago and you could just take the train.
Sure.
That would be nice. I've taken the train once.
And Brian almost hit somebody so hard. He was so frustrated with
them.
And
it was the last time Brian took the train.
In college. I took the city of New Orleans from Chicago down to Carbondale.
Okay.
Took it one time. I was like, I found any stranger who would put a ride up on the rideshare board around breaks,
sure,
I would take a ride with. I don't like being that's why I'm not a good passenger.
It's the
either.
Confinement.
It's not the confinement.
For me,
it's the speed.
Okay.
It's the knowing that, my God, we could have been there already.
Right.
But I got to stop in Podunkville, wherever, to let three pigs cross the tracks and, look. And then the conductor's got to look out and go, anybody here?
Yeah.
No, there's nobody here on a regular basis. Who's here waiting for a train?
Right.
But I know how many people depend on rail transportation to get around, and I do romanticize a train trip, so this is a very exciting piece of news.
It is, and I think it's good for local economy as well, because there would be proposed new stops along the route, including Pewaukee, Watertown, and Madison, which would expand access into Waukesha, Jefferson, and Dane counties. Now, this project gained new momentum after the 2021 bipartisan infrastructure law. If you want to thank President Biden for something, you could definitely thank him for that, because that was all President Biden. Dabbling in the facts here. That set aside more than $100 billion nationwide to expand and modernize rail service. Now, Amtrak and state transportation officials are currently reviewing possible station locations and gathering feedback from local communities. In fact, in Madison, one recommended station would be located near Lake Monona and John Nolan Drive, which would give you closer access to the Capitol Square, Monona Terrace, and even some of those downtown hotels. But I think about this for people who might want to just take a weekend trip, maybe do a little shopping. You know, maybe you've got concerts, or maybe there's something happening at, you know, if you're in Madison at the university and you want to come into town for that. We've got Alicia over on listening on YouTube this morning that says she wants to take the train from Green Bay to Milwaukee, because how awesome would traffic be on Packer game days if you had a train from Milwaukee to Green Bay? Yeah, something like that would be sensational for people.
My problem with the train is that it takes a long time, and I'm always impatient and in a hurry. But if you have to, like you said, when you paint that scenario, even for people who were, I know a lot of people from Chicago take the train every day to Milwaukee.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a time to get some things done, and you can build that time into your day. You know, that's the thing. And if you're taking a trip on the train, you know it's going to be leisurely.
Right.
You get on, you relax, you don't have to worry about traffic or driving and all of that. And this is good. And last year when they expanded from Milwaukee up to Minneapolis, that was a big deal, added a lot of access points for people. So I hope this comes through, because I think there is a need for this. The other part is people always think the train is very cheap.
Yes.
To take. It is not.
It's not.
The train is expensive.
It's very expensive.
Where you go, boy, I could fly.
Yeah.
And be there in a quarter of the time.
My husband is a huge train fanatic. Goes all the way back to when he was young. We have ridden on every train across the state. We've taken train rides in multiple states.
I wondered why he always wore that conductor's hat in the office. That was
he'll knock down a small child to get onto the train first. And I'm not even joking. I have to really guard him out in public. I'm like, the child deserves the train ride before you do. But at any rate, this has always been a pipe dream of his to do something from like this area down to like Arizona to the Grand Canyon. I'm like, you take the train and I'll see you there when you get in at the train stop. I'm going to fly. How about that? Like I'll just fly. But I understand his point of view. I think it'd be fun. It would be a different experience. And for a lot of us, you know, a lot of people, like you said, do the commuter trains every single day.
Yeah.
So that's not
my
new for them.
My wife takes a train, and she doesn't mind it. I'd like to do, there's that one scenic train through, like, the Northwest or in Canada.
Yes.
I'm like, that would be fun with the glass-topped car.
Yes.
It'd be fun for, like, 4 hours, and then I'd need to get
car. You're saying four. I'd be like, okay, I've done this for an hour now. Everybody off. Is this my next stop?
Well, I got to have a couple of drinks and some poutine, and then enjoy it.
You got to make it right. 6:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
Oh, more lawsuits against the White House. Yes, it's happening. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.